chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Super interesting. There is a shift, and God uses Paul to shift many times in his letters. He goes from the theology to practical living. And I do love the balance. We need to know. And it does seem to generally be two-thirds, one-third. Two-thirds to know Christ and to know the depths of truth, and then one-third on how then to apply it, how to live it. Both are critical. You can be out of balance and just be doing, but you need to know, you need to study the truth. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing. You should be doing while you're learning, but you know, it's kind of an interesting perspective. But here we go, right after God, through Paul, was highly critical of the Corinthian church for their disrespect and dishonor to Christ and in his sacrifice, where they just made it part of their normal feasts that they would have. And then there was division among the feast. And then you'll see this kind of about face here in 1 Corinthians 12. Let's just begin. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols," idols that don't speak, but I am okay if you didn't know that, because they aren't very intelligent either. But verse 2, "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." Diversities, differences, right? "And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." So beginning in verse 8, he's going to list out some of these gifts that were given. And so some of these were temporary. Some of these would still exist today. I'll try to show you in scriptures which ones I believe those are, and we'll try to use the scriptures to tell us that. So look at verse 8. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally," or separately would be the word we would use today, "dividing to every man severally as he will." Spiritual gifts, just simple title of the message. And understand just one theme that I want to make sure that if I don't speak that specifically throughout the message, one theme is that the gifts that God gives will differ. It's not because he has any respect of persons. God will be able to explain all things, but one gift that somebody has, another person may not have that gift. We should not envy that. We should rejoice in that. And again, I'll get to this in verse 7, the gifts that God gives us, the talents that God gives us, the abilities God gives us are for the benefit, for the encouragement, for the exhortation of the church that you're a part of. And so, spiritual gifts, let's just look at this in verse 1. He says, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you are Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols," idols that don't speak, "even as you were led." First thing I want you to remember is what you used to be, what you used to be. I'm just going to read a few verses, just a great scriptures, Ephesians 2:11, where God's reminding the church at Ephesus, "Remember therefore, wherefore remember, that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." Just remembering what God saved us from. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love, speaking again to the church at Ephesus. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Revelation 3:3. Scan to another church. It says, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If thou therefore shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. It's just remember. You hear that in chapter 3, verse 3, Revelation. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. The longer we're saved, the easier it is to forget what we were, or even what we could be without Christ. Remember what he has saved us from. And if we do that, it should humble us. It should humble us to say, wow, I was heading down the path of destruction, and God rescued me. God saved me from my sins. So that when you are given gifts or talents or blessings from God, you won't then think it's because you're special. And the message of the Bible is, not one person in here special outside of God putting value on you. It's just the goodness of God. So remember what you used to be. Remember what you used to be. Remember who made the change. Verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So he's just telling them this. It is, you cannot take credit for your radical change. You should see a radical change in your life. Faith is simple. We must have the faith of a child. Just that complete trust in Christ. But the results are radical. When you see things changing in your life, let it humble you. Let it humble me. Let it remind me. I tell people all the time, I meet myself sometimes when I door knock. I meet myself sometimes in life. And you think I'm rough now, I'd be way rougher without Christ. And so no doubt about it, right? I, you know, when I told you this morning, and some disagree, and it's okay if you disagree. So today's the day of disagreement. And, but it's this. It is, I respect people that say this. They say God gifts you after you're saved. I think God gave you those gifts before you were saved. It's just, will you use those and surrender those to Christ? I was intense before I was saved. Praise the Lord, I was saved right before I was 8, right? And I've just had to submit that to the Lord. But I will tell you this, use the intensity that he's given me, submit it to him for his honor and his glory. But remember who made the change. I'm going to make one comment, because I'm interested in just stirring people up today. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. God would never lead anyone to speak evil of Christ, or to say he's cursed, or that he is not the Son of God. But it says this, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Again, I'm going to give you my perspective. I don't think it's this. I think there are people that say Jesus is the Lord that are going to hell. It's not meaning that, right? But it's this. I think in the context of the Scriptures, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord from their heart, believe it, know it, and live it without the Holy Spirit. You understand that? That's what I believe context of the Bible would say. You'd say, well, it doesn't say that in that verse, but I think the greater context, because there are many that say Jesus is Lord. In fact, if you actually said it was just the communication of that, then that might be a contradiction with Matthew 7, where he says, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? But it's this, no man, and just understand this, you cannot understand and be saved and know the Lord without the Holy Spirit. It's not you. And we must remember that. We must be humbled. We must remember that, because we're about to get in this thing. And I ask the simple question, what are you good at? The younger you are, the easier it'll be for you to tell me. I feel sorry for the people that bought my parents' house that I grew up in. So in Sharpie, on the wall, it says Steve is awesome. And so I, you know, I wrote that and I got in trouble. They're like, what did you do? You know, but it didn't come off. I'm sure there are chemicals today that would take it off, but it was on there when we sold the house. And so I almost want to go, can I go down to your basement? And I'm convinced that some of my dad's stuff that he bought too, because my dad would like, beep, beep, beep. He'd buy things. You know why I'm a deal guy? Because my dad was, right? He would buy things in bulk like nobody's business. There's no way they've used all those paper products even in the last 30 years. But it is, remember who made the change, but we also need to understand that it is, it's God. I tell you this, all blessings are from God. Look at verse 4. Now there are diversities or differences of gifts, but the same Spirit. And so we must rejoice. I think it's going to be similar to this. I don't exactly know, because I am crystal clear what I believe the Scriptures teach, that there are going to be different rewards in heaven. And I think it's going to be dramatic. But I think there'll be, I know there'll be no jealousy. I know there'll be no sin. There'll be no bitterness. There'll be no envy. But I think there's going to be people that reap the blessings of sacrifice and faithfulness to Christ this side of heaven. If you think I'm talking about me, I'm not. Because I'm not even close to that. There's people that we don't even know their names. And we will be like, oh, that's awesome. We ought to look at people today. If they're doing the work of God, it ought not to spark jealousy. It ought to just spark joy. Man, they're using their gifts for the glory of God. I praise the Lord for that. Right? So he says this. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So all blessings are from God. I'm just going to put these three up real quick here. He talks about gifts, administrations, and operations, right? So he says this. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Gifts would be talents, favors, blessings of God that he gives you. He said there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. In terms of, it's kinds of service. God's going to give you different service opportunities, and he's going to put you in different places of service, right? And what he says is, it's not less than, right? The people that clean the bathrooms are not less than the people that teach. They're not. They are much less unsung, are they not? But there is no hierarchy in terms of service. Like we've got our tier one service people, amen? And we've got our tier three, they do the bathrooms. It's not. He said there are differences of gifts, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. And so the Bible uses the terms in Romans that, so, you know, operations, ways in which God works. So God's going to use people differently, and he's going to have different operations, different ways. He uses you, uses others, and it's not always going to be the same. We have to get comfortable with that. We have to understand that, and we must rejoice in that. It's one of the beauties of what we are going through in Sunday school, or working through in Sunday school, about a church. What is a church? The beautiful thing is we are a complete functioning autonomous body of Christ, and as that, we should rejoice. I never get upset at my feet for doing something. I never think about it. The only time I think about my feet is when they're not working, right? When's the last time you thought about your big toe? Only when it was hurt, right? You don't realize how much you use this pinky until you hurt it. And I sliced this whole thing wide open many years ago, right? So you can still see the scar from it. Man, I use this pinky way more than I thought, right? So this is not the right word, but we can, in some aspect, rejoice, and it'll say that later in Corinthians, but I'm meaning it a little bit different way. Rejoice when God uses Hope Baptist Church for his honor and his glory, and when we see people saved and marriages healed and people made right with God, we can rejoice in that, whatever your task is, right? Don't bemoan something and go, oh, I wish I could have. could have been involved in that. Well, get involved with people's lives, and God will use you. But rejoice, you see. This is not a competition. This is not to have the haves and the have-nots. This is for us to rejoice as a body of Christ. I just think about this. Here's what people do today. And it's to the extreme, but I think there's a place for this. People go to churches today because that's the winning team. We talk about criteria for what are you looking for in a church, and we'll talk about that a little next week, next Sunday morning in Sunday school. I'm convinced people look for a church that that's my team. You know, we're smarter than that. We live in Cincinnati, so we never call the Bengals our my team, right? Because, I mean, who wants to be a loser? But it is, we do. We call the Reds, you know, whatever, or your team, right? That's what people do. In a sense, though, we ought to rejoice in being part of a body of Christ, but be an active part, right? Be a part of it. It's a big deal, right? There are just so many different things. I mean, you know, I mean, just the swing set out there. I think of Don. Don's working on the swing set. I mean, Zach does different things. What did Zach do recently? Zach sealed off so we don't get any more squirrels in the attic, and nobody knew about that. Those are humongous blessings for me. I used to do that years ago, and I can't believe there's not a hole in the ceiling, right? And so that's a big deal, Zach, but I always tell Zach this, just because Zach, you know, I don't know why, but I say, Zach, that doesn't replace replacing souls, right? I think of this. I think what you're doing, Deanna, with the little ones in Vacation Bible School, you will be one of the unsung heroes. Because, you know, for those you see and those you don't, that used to be Nick Clooney. Anybody remember Nick Clooney? Right? He used to say that. But humongous. You may not see the fruit of that. In fact, you may end the week and go, I think it was useless. None of the kids listened. They were just, you know, they were slobbering all over the place, you know. But I want to tell you this. It's huge. It's a big deal, right? Keaton vacuums the church. That's a big deal, right? All these little things. But I tell you, never replace those things with pursuing Christ. Never replace them with pursuing Christ, and never replace them with pursuing souls. But I want you to be involved. I want you to understand your gifts. You can have conversations with me. Ladies, if you feel more comfortable, you can have conversations with my wife. I do want to know what your talents are so that by God's grace, we can get you where you're using your talents and it's not work. It's not as much work for me to preach as it might be for some of you. I love it. I love what I do. I always remember this. I will tell you, it doesn't matter the size of the church. I do want to reach more people for Jesus Christ. You better believe I do. But I'll tell you this, it's worth it all if one child gets saved during Vacation Bible School. And I'm not just talking hyperbole, I'm just not making it up. I want to tell you this, that is glory. The angels in heaven will rejoice over every soul that is saved, including the children. And so, I just tell you this, you know how people are saved at little churches? The same way they're saved at big churches. Right? And so, don't rejoice that God will use you. But these are kind of three categories, right? So I'm going to tell you this. I don't think, and some will limit it, I don't limit what you're good at and your gifts to what the Bible lists. I think that's an important review for us to look at the things the Bible talks about, because I think those would be important. But I do think these are three categories that you're going to want to think of your skills, your gifts that God's given you, that what are your talents, you know, what service strengths has he given you, and how does God use you? And so for the third one, just remember, just think about this. Listen to what people say. Nobody has ever said, you're the nicest person I ever met. Nobody's ever said that to me. And so I don't think my gift's going to be tender loving care. But maybe yours is. Right? Maybe yours is, you know, like, I don't think I would have, Barnabas, a son of consolation. We need sons of consolation. I don't know if I'm the son of consolation here, right? That's just kind of immediate. Let's all bring it together. Let's just get along. And you know, but that could be your gift. That could be how God uses you. I do not want anybody leaving. I tell people all the time. I say, what gifts has God given you? And they say, none. I say, well, then you're lost. Because God talks in the scriptures that every believer has gifts. I think they're the same gifts he gave you before you were saved, but now will you use them when you're saved? These are the three categories. And then, well, let's just look at this. Verse 7, he says, but the manifestation, the word manifest is just to make known, is to reveal, just so you know, but the manifestation, the revealing, the manifestation of the Spirit, when the Spirit, when he reveals these things, is given to every man to profit with all. We would say to profit all. That's what it means. The revelation of your gifts by the Spirit are to profit everyone. I want you to know that. That's super important. Most people in this life, they use their gifts, they use their blessings, they use their talents to consume upon themselves selfishly. You and I need to know, what am I good at? And some of us may be wrong. I would tell you this. Get with somebody that'll tell you the truth and say, do you think I'm good at this? Be honest with me. Is this a strength of mine? Right? So that sometimes we kid ourselves, right? Just ask the Lord and then maybe get confirmation from people. That's a Bible principle. You understand that? That, you know, if there is a burden to preach, God has put a tester in there, right? He said, will anybody ordain you? Understand that? You can say, you know, if you're burdened to preach, it'll be manifest. And then there'll be a body that will ordain you to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You follow me? That's a good balance and a good check for you, right? I'm just giving you that example to say, ask someone, is this a strength? Is this? And then ask me. I see you all, and I'm generally direct, but I also see the strengths in many of you. I don't see them all, but I see a lot of them. Ask me. Maybe I'll tell you this. If you want me to do that, ask me, give me 1 week so I can really think about it, really reflect on it, because not only do I want to have thoughts, I want to have examples. And I will give it thought, and I want you to understand, wow, I think the Lord has made me good at this, right? And I think, how am I using that for his kingdom and his honor and his glory, right? Remember this, how do I do these? So verse 7 says, the purpose of the Spirit revealing this is so that everyone in this body will profit. Now let's look at these. He talks about two kinds of gifts. He talks about two kinds of gifts. He talks about permanent and temporary gifts. Now let's just read this, and let me just show you, just turn to 1 Corinthians 13:8, because you're going to see some of the same wording, and it's where I get temporary gifts. It's not that I'm just winging it and making it up, but, you know, verses 1 through 7 are some of the greatest verses on love. You want to know what love is, verses 1 through 7? And he used, in the King James Bible says charity, because it's distinguishing between different love. Charity would be that agape love, that sacrificial giving love. Verse 8, charity never fails. Charity never ends. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. They shall end. They shall cease. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. I'll deal with all that later. But at least I wanted you to see in verse 8, prophecies, tongues, and knowledge are to cease. Now, if you understand, it's from the word special knowledge, Gnosticism, special knowledge. God gave special knowledge before we had the completed word of God. So the three things he deals with here are prophecies. Now, it's the same Greek word for both to tell forth the truth or to foretell the truth, right? So when he says there'll be prophecies that cease, the ability to foretell the future. Because God never wants the proclaiming of his truth to cease. He never wants us to stop telling the world. Though it's interesting in Jeremiah, that when all things are done, we won't need to teach others anymore. And so it's just know this. He says prophecies, and I believe that's the foretelling of the future, that'll cease, tongues will cease, and then I'll use this term, special knowledge will cease. Now, let's read verses 8 through 11, and then I'll break these down with what I think are the permanent and what I think are the temporary ones. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And so I will tell you this, I believe the word of wisdom is something we can have today. So what would that be? So the Bible says this, one gift, one blessing God can give it by the Spirit is the word of wisdom. There's going to be people that you want to get a hold of and you want to know. I'm telling you, you want to know who you should have pray for you when you need prayer. You know, if you have to pick between me and my wife, I would pick my wife, 100%. I keep trying to figure out the number she's calling sometimes, and the Lord listens to her different than me. There's no doubt about it. And I'll pray for you, but he seems to, she has a direct line better than I do. You're going to want to know when you have questions about life, who can you seek out that won't tell you what you want to hear, but they're going to try to be gentle, they're going to try to be kind, they're going to try to use the scripture, and they're going to try to give you guidance. It would be the word of wisdom, right? Do you have that gift that you can guide people to the way of the Lord and to truth, right? You don't if you don't point people to Christ and point people to the scriptures. We've been in Proverbs now for several weeks. And so the word of wisdom, I believe that is a permanent gift. I can't see anything in the scriptures that would say he has removed this. To another, the word of knowledge. And so I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to put that in there because I think the word of knowledge is that special knowledge that will be done away with. Same word in chapter 12 versus chapter 13. There can be debate on that. Does God give people the ability to learn more quickly, but I think this is talking about that special knowledge, that special knowledge. So let's just read them, and then I'll walk through them. So let's read verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, so that's the second one, let's just count these with our fingers. To another faith, that would be the third gift by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing would be the fourth. And in verse 10, to another, the working of miracles, that'd be the fifth. To another, prophecy, that'd be the sixth. To another, discerning of spirits, we'll talk about that, what that is. To another, different, diverse kinds of tongues. And then to another, the interpretation of tongues. We'll look at verse 28 in the future. It deals with a couple other things. But those are the nine gifts it talks about. Now, the permanent ones, I think, are the word of wisdom and faith. Now, faith is just super interesting to me, but it's also, I love that the Bible puts this. How many of the 12 apostles got out of the boat to walk on the water to see Jesus? Just one. It's funny, when he sunk, Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith." But I think he could have looked, and you guys are way worse. And you wonder, did he rebuke Peter? Because Peter was given the gift of faith. He was given the special blessing of faith. And he went on the water, but he didn't stay focused on Christ. So you guys heard me say, I haven't mentioned his name in many, many, I think probably years, George Mueller. Any biography, autobiography that you can get of George Mueller, you should get it. He was English, and he ran orphanages, and he never asked for money. I think he started with six children, ended up over his lifespan, he ended up dealing with 20,000 orphans in England. Never asked people for money. His stories are grand. His stories are amazing. And just stories of faith. I'll just tell this one story. It's my favorite. You've probably heard it before. He had 600 children. They would all stand at their tables in front of their, they had benches that they would go in. And they would stand, and they would have a word of prayer, and they would be seated. They told Mr. Mueller that morning, they said, "Mr. Mueller, we have no food for the children." He said, "Have the children get at their stations, get at their places, and have them prepare for the meal." Mr. Mueller. I'm not sure if you understood me. We have no food. He said, have the children stand at their places and we will thank God for the food. That's a true story. 600 children standing there and you got the people in the kitchen, nothing ready. And George Mueller prays, Oh Father, we thank you for this food that you are about to give us. We thank you, pray you'll bless it. I don't know what the prayer was. In Jesus' name, amen. True story. Knock on the door. Local baker said, Mr. Mueller, I couldn't sleep last night. God got me up in the middle of the night and I've made biscuits for all the children this morning. Do you have room for the children to have biscuits? He said, absolutely. Bring in those biscuits. Brought in the biscuits, served the kids biscuits. True story. Been validated a number of ways. The kids were having their biscuits or about to eat their biscuits. And in England, tea, they could have had a tea for the kids. And so tea, what do they love in England with their tea? What is that? Milk. Maybe crumpets too, I don't know. I haven't watched a lot of those shows, so I'll be looking for crumpets the next time. But I hate tea, I hate coffee, and it really doesn't help if you put milk in it. But both of them are just bitter. I mean, why would you drink something that's like, man, you would never eat that plant? It's like, oh, it's so good, it's so bitter, you know? And, you know, diet, do they make things so that it just flows on your tongue, right? I fall for it all the time. Talk to Clay, he'll tell you about that. Whatever that chemical is that's, you know, taking 6 years off my life. But George Mueller had they were eating their biscuits or getting ready. It was a dairyman. He said, my cart broke down in front of your orphanage and I cannot get back or get to my deliveries before this milk will spoil. Could you use it? All the kids not only had biscuits, they had tea and they had milk in their tea. Is that an amazing God? When George Mueller died, they reviewed his books. And what would be valued today is tens of millions of dollars that were given to him, and he never asked for a dime. He would never tell anybody of his need. And that is a man that had the gift of faith. Here's why I tell you that. It is, I can hear me have said this, maybe, I don't think I've ever heard any of you say it, but I thought it. It's like, whoa, wish I had their faith. Maybe, but let's rejoice that they have faith that might encourage us and that might help us do great and mighty things for God. God gives a measure of faith differently to others. Again, this is not dealing with faith that saves. This is dealing with faith that will honor and glorify the Lord. I mean, I love reading the George Mueller biographies, and I'm blown away with God. You should read them. It's good. So the permanent one, I think, Word of Wisdom, Faith, and then Discerning of Spirits. And Discerning of Spirits, I mean, I've run into plenty of people that want to, like, abuse this. But I think it's that you can understand when the Lord is working or when the devil is working. And I don't see why God would remove that today. Again, this is not one where you can say 100% sure, but when God gives people, there's going to be people that I want to surround myself with that they'll help me understand, is this of God or is this of the devil? The devil manifests himself as an angel of light. You think you can always tell if it's God or the devil? I want people around that can help me discern, is this something we should do or is this something we should not do? Is this of God or is this of not? I think discerning of spirits, really, it's in that simplicity, I think, that still exists today. And I think God has blessed men and women with that insight, and we ought to rejoice in that, and we ought to leverage that in humility and submission to the Word of God and in prayer. Way I've seen this abused, this particular one, which is, I almost would like to move it from the temporary, because generally today I've seen it abused. Yeah, you have a devil in you. Be quiet, you know. I've watched people walk around and go, yep, I watched the devil standing behind you. Yeah, I don't think so. But it's discerning whether something is of God or something is of the devil. And we need to have that kind of discerning spirit. And God gives that to people. God gives that to people. Now, those that are temporary in this passage, special knowledge, right? God would give special knowledge that maybe, you know, you're traveling. And God would give special knowledge to Paul. He would say, don't go to this city. He would say, go to this particular location. And God would give special knowledge to people. If you hear these guys on television today and they're claiming that God spoke to them and he told them something, I'll tell you, maybe I've said, God spoke to me, but he speaks to me through this. And if I say anything that's outside the word of God, it's hogwash. God can burden your heart, but just say it that way. But he's not going to give you special knowledge. I believe that God can stop me from doing things. I believe that God can stir my mind and say, whoa, right? I need to remember this. He doesn't always stir your mind for everything. You pray for me. Tomorrow's a big day for us because I'm not going to announce all will be well. All will be well. I'm not going to tell you. It's all good. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. I'll tell you Wednesday. Day Wednesday, because it's all going to go well. But the Lord did not give me special knowledge. I'm not blaming the Lord. It's something I forgot. Okay? So it's all going to be good. But God does stir your heart. I know. It's like mystery. Just come Wednesday. That's my ploy to get you here Wednesday. It is special knowledge. We ought not to look for that. Many people I deal with, they're looking for this special nudge of God. How about just read his word and do what the Bible says? Everybody's looking for, you know, God spoke to me. God spoke to less than 40 people in the Bible. You're not that important. Neither am I. And so I'm telling you, you want God to speak to you? Do this. You want to honor God? Obey this. But boy, no, Steve, you know, the devil might give you what you're looking for. And you'll think it's God because you don't have a great discernment on what's from God and what's not. If you're seeking it, the devil will probably deliver it for you. I'm just telling you this. You know what? Just seek to know Christ through his word. That's the knowledge that we need to have. Not anything above, beyond, and anything beyond that. Third, it's gifts of healing. Now turn, I don't know if this is smart or not, turn to Mark 16. Mark 16. I'm going to show you why I would put gifts of healing in this category. One, I think it's fairly obvious. All of the fake healers today called faith healers, but I call them fake healers, right? They never go to the wheelchair sections. They never liberate people that were blind from birth. Never. Ever. They don't. They did in the Bible. But look at Mark 16. Look at verse 15, just never hurts to review that. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Okay, so he says, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In this passage, these things that are listed here, just walk through them. I believe these are all temporary gifts that ceased, and we saw them cease historically. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. I believe we can through prayer, but I don't think we do the way the apostles did. And it says, they shall speak with new tongues. Again, we'll see. I haven't figured out how much I'm going to take you into tongues, but tongues is the ability to speak languages that you've never studied. When the Bible says unknown tongue, it's like talking about me with, you know, you could say Spanish, but I know Spanish a little bit, not much. but it would be like French, right? I mean, that's all I can say, right? So it'd be like French is an unknown language to me. Russian's an unknown language to me. That's when the Bible says unknown tongue, that's all it is. Tongues was the ability to speak a language you had never studied. That doesn't exist today. That's what happened in the Bible. People were able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to people in languages they had never studied. It was an incredible kindness of God that accelerated the spread of the gospel in the first century. You know this? Have you started on Spanish yet? Sí. You could say it. These guys have started on Portuguese. Can you quote John 3:16 for me in Portuguese? Can you quote any scripture? I feel better. Well, I was like, what's your priority verse? But it's in the beginning. No. But it's difficult, right? And it'll help when you immerse and kind of, you know, to get a cucumber, you have to figure it out, right? But it's just tough. We could say this, but God's plan wasn't this. It would be cool. Boom. Save you a lot of time in the mission field. God said, no, it's temporary. But keep looking at Mark 16. He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And so, Cash Amberger. How many remember Cash Amberger? Follow the arrows, follow the signs to Cash's Big Bargain Barn. Save cash with cash. I convinced my parents to buy a piano because I loved his commercials. And then I dreaded it. I had to play the piano. That was like the mistake. We got a great deal on the piano from Cash, but I wanted to go see Cash Amberger at Cash's Big Bargain Barn. It was a barn. And save cash with cash. It's just so, what a great advertising. You don't get better advertising than that. But Cash Amberger was a Pentecostal that believed you could handle snakes. Now, you got to understand this. Whenever they would have these meetings, I haven't heard of these meetings in forever, so maybe they still exist somewhere. Usually it's in Kentucky or somewhere like that. But it's, that's where, whatever I'm saying. I don't know. That's where they were, right? But they would reach in the basket, whoosh, bring out a snake. And if they got bit, they always had the antidote in the back. They didn't this time. Cash, he was bitten. He died. Now, I'll tell you this. I think Cash Amberger was a Christian. He was misguided on this. But I'll tell you what I appreciate. I love this. You know, you think you can speak in tongues? Remember when I brought the Prestone? Remember when I brought the Prestone to the stage? I brought the Prestone because I was just making an illustration. I referred to this verse and I said, oh, you got the gift of tongues? Just drink this antifreeze and see how that goes. Because it says, and if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. It shall not hurt them. You got to understand, people were aggressively trying to slaughter Christianity. The devil was trying to stamp it out in the first century. And then it talks about they that lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. God still heals, but it's not through the gift of healing. I told you this story before. I'll quickly tell those that haven't heard it. But door knocking, I met this lady. And she said, oh, I'm a healer. I said, no, you're not. And, look, you don't have to be the way I am. Jesus was direct with false religious people. I said, no, you're not. She said, how can you say that? I said, you'd be down at University of Cincinnati, you'd empty the hospital, and every news station in the world would be interviewing you, and you could then share the gospel. I said, you go empty University of Cincinnati Hospital, and I'll change my doctrine. I told you what she did, right? This kind of spooked me. She goes, she did this to me. She goes, you will be dead this time tomorrow. And I've been given the gift of faith. I'm like, oh, man, that's like, I'll see you later. You know, so it kind of spooked me a little bit, right? And so you shouldn't get spooked, but I know I'm a little flaky, right? And I was like, you know, I mean, she didn't know the Lord, but she knew the devil. I was just making sure, dear Lord, you know. And so I was super careful the next 24 hours driving, you know, like, and I then, you know, what goes through Steve Hall's mind? I'm going to drive by and go, but I didn't. But I told her she didn't. Because you know what they did? You read Josephus, and Josephus speaks of the towns that Jesus went to. Some of them, there were no sick people left. Not all of them. Mark chapter 1, you'll see that. Not all of them. But Josephus said, some of them, nobody was sick in that town. That's not any fake healer today. It's gifts of healing, I think, are temporary. So now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll get a move on it. So temporary, gifts of healing, temporary, working of miracles. Miracles, just anytime you use the word miracle, I'm very conscious of this. I get it. You know, oh, it's a miracle. But when I use the miracle, I will say it's supernatural. I don't even like to use the word natural per se, because it seems to discredit God for his kingdom and his authority, right? So I get it. Supernatural, beyond what would normally happen, okay? It required intervention of God. That's what a miracle is. It wouldn't have happened without God. You would, if he raises somebody from the dead, that is not normal, right? To make the blind to see, that's not normal. That's supernatural, working of miracles. I don't believe miracles are accomplished through the hands of men today. I believe it was in the past, in that first century, because it would authenticate them. It would give them credibility. So when they preach the gospel, people go, hey, have you seen what they've done? Jesus said one of the reasons you should believe on him, because of his works, for his works' sake. And he gave his apostles, with the ability for his apostles to lay hands on people, to give them gifts as well. Working of miracles, I believe, is temporary. I don't believe that is in operation today at the hands of men. And then fourth, prophecy, or the foretelling of the future. You hear somebody telling you that they can foretell the future, liar, liar, pants on fire. And so I don't believe them. Okay, maybe they get something right. That even makes me more nervous. I know this, it wasn't from God. The devil can't foretell the future, just so you know. I don't believe either. I don't think he is has any all-knowing capability. But the devil's been around long enough, and he could put probability statistics together better than any of us. He could say, this will probably happen. So he's going to say, this is going to happen. And then he'll make it happen in your life, and he'll get you sucked in. I'm telling you this, and I almost hesitate to do this, because then some people might get tempted. If you read your horoscopes, I think you've been fooled by the devil. I would tell you to flee from that. It might be light, you think, but I think it's foolishness and gets you thinking on things other than God. I want you to know nothing happens to me because I was stinking born in September. All right? And so if you read that stuff, you'll start thinking that stuff, and you'll start thinking it's beyond God. We can trust our God. You follow me? Nobody can foretell the future. They could back in the day, but it was on the hand of God to be a blessing to then illuminate and exalt the gospel. And then the fifth one is tongues. Again, tongues. Both the interpretation of tongues and the speaking of tongues. I'm going to talk about this more in the future, but I'll just mention this one thing. It is interesting to me that there is a renaissance, an awakening of tongues today, different than the Pentecostals. And we're going to address that in 1 Corinthians 14. I see it among people that I kind of like. And they will call it prayer tongues. And people that go that route aren't as weird as the people that are claiming they speak in tongues today. Because the people that speak in tongues today, it's just gibberish, right? But then there's this group, and when I show you the passage that they use, the passage actually says, speak in clarity with God when you pray. He's saying the opposite. And they have turned it to be, well, we can have prayer tongues, to where you can be praying, not knowing what you're saying, but God knows what you're saying. Foolishness, but again, maybe not in all of us, but I think in a lot of us, we would like to have a little special angle on the Bible, right? Well, Damien, look at what I know, you know, it's not. I'm telling you, the Bible is been given to us in simplicity. God's so complex, so that we can understand it. Tongues were to accelerate the spread of the gospel. Tongues in the Bible were for the lost. Today, tongues are to puff ourselves up, and it's to it's not for the lost. And so I tell you this, we're going to look at Romans 12. Romans 12 is almost the exact reversal. Most of Romans 12 gifts are the permanent gifts. Very few are temporary. And so as time goes on and there is more of the Word of God given, you'll see less emphasis on the temporary gifts and more emphasis, less emphasis on the temporary gifts and more emphasis on the permanent gifts. If you leave with one thing tonight, be thankful for what God's made you good at. I'm going to tell you this. I'll just give you one. If you are a great mom, maybe God's given you the gift of nurturing and giving you the gift of children where you can love children. Don't discount those things like that. You understand that? The world does. I can see people going, well, you know, I don't know. I'm just a mom. Well, you do a great job at it. You know, are you just loving your kids? And how can you teach our other women how to love their children and love their husbands, as difficult as we are, right? Those are gifts that you can help. Imagine this. I'm just going to finish with this. If that was your gift, if you were just, you'd love being a mom, taking care of your children, and helping your man honor Christ, you could start a revival in our church. We men are difficult to love. If the women could say amen, they're doing this in sign language, right? And we're difficult to love. And so I want to tell you this. My wife, it's why I do. I tell her to talk to other people, right? Because I know you guys are like, I can't. She's faking it. She's really not. But she'll, you know, it's this. I forget. She said something. What do you call me? You're married to a what? You always tell people, you describe me this way. Not type A, but there's some other, you say, you don't use the word difficult. She doesn't use words that would hurt my feelings. But it is, what is the word? Tell me, Stephen. Demanding? Commanding. No, that's not it. Yeah, command man, I don't know. But let me just tell you. Find out what you're good at. Thank God for that tonight. I don't want you to go to bed tonight and think, I'm not good at anything. I want to challenge you with this. You dishonor God with that thought. Be thankful. I'm looking at our saved young people. Chunk, 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 okay? Chunk, all right, chunk, all right. So, I want you guys. You're not second-rate Christians in our church. What has God made you good at? Begin to understand that so that you develop that for His glory, His honor, and the encouragement and exhortation of the church that you're a part of. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your people.